I want us to read just two verses of scripture from the book of Jonah, chapter 1. These are the words of verses 9 and verse 10. Jonah chapter 1, verse number 9. And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Amen. And the Lord will bless the public reading for his precious name's sake. I want to speak this evening on just the subject of what would you do? What would you do? There are many scenarios that could come our way when we could answer that question. What we would do. And how we would react in certain situations that come in our lives. But if you came across the situation where Jonah and these mariners found themselves, what would you do? What would you do? Firstly, as we look at this passage of Scripture, we ask the question, what would you do if you were afraid? The Bible tells us in that verse 9, it says, I fear the Lord. Then verse number 10, it says, then were the men exceedingly afraid. We have the thought, as I mentioned earlier, a life is best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf and being time. The natural thing for any person to do in circumstances of fear would be to hide away. They would be to find someone that would then comfort them or help them in their time of fear and trembling. There should be that desire upon our hearts that they get ourselves within an environment which is safe and safekeeping. I'm sure there is no one when they come to that point of fear where they would say, well, I'm just going to leave it and see what happens. But they will seek to try and make sure you're in a time of safety. But if we find ourselves in a fearful position, we will hide, we will worry. Just like the men in this passage of Scripture, because they begin to worry. They begin to fear of their future. They begin to fear of what's going on. They begin to fear about their own safety. And in fear, they ask this question, what hast thou done? They wonder, Jonah, what is it that has caused these things to come upon us? Jonah, why are we in a problem of fear? Why has this hit us? But I wonder why they never thought, is it me? Why they never thought that they were the problem after all? But they searched out and yes, they found Jonah. But surely these men were sinners. These men were sinners before God, and they never looked at themselves to find out where the problem was. They never asked themselves that question, what has thou done? But Jonah is a man, he's running away. God's called them to go to Nineveh, and God's called them to reach a people, and yet Jonah's been running away from God. And Jonah is hiding, he's sleeping. These men are fearful, they're running around, and there's worry upon their hearts and their lives, and they're not seeking God. The indication was that they knew what God could do. Because if you read those verses, you'll find that they wondered because they knew that God could do all things, but yet they were not seeking God themselves. If they knew what God could do, no wonder these men were afraid. No wonder these men were afraid. You know, many a person knows today that there is a God, there is the one true God. And just because some people will say there is no God doesn't make God any less God, because God is the same God in Jonah's day, is the same God in our day. The Bible indicates to those who say there is no God, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But there will always be God. He is the same yesterday. He is the same today. He is the same forever. And one day, and there will be that bowing of their knee, and they will know that He is the Lord our God. That every Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. They will realize in that time that there is God. But these men in this passage, yes, they didn't know God. Yes, there was a fear. What did they do when they were afraid? They looked to Jonah. They looked to Jonah. They were happy gazing upon Jonah's sin. They were happy gazing upon what happened in Jonah's life. They were happy to find out that was Jonah was the problem. But not their own selves. I wonder, maybe someone this evening in the service done that themselves and they pointed their finger at others and said it's their sins and their lives, but never looked at their own. Many a person does that and they say, well, it's not me that did it, it's somebody else. And all the time they should be looking at themselves and looking at their own lives. The reality here in this passage was that there's a fear. They're afraid. And sin has caused Jonah to go onto the ship. Running away from God has caused Jonah to be in this place. And when Jonah has been revealed, it brought consideration of their own sin. And I want you to think about that. Because when Jonah was shown up for what he had done, it's revealed to the people that themselves, that they don't know God. That they don't have what Jonah claims to have in verse number 9. Is I fear the Lord, and I'm the God of heaven which hath made the sea and the dry land. And these men, they look at Jonah and they're fearful. They don't have the confidence and the fear of God. But they know he's fled from God. And fear grips their heart and they have heard about God. But although they fear when Jonah said these things, they still don't understand. And they still don't understand that God is able to deliver them. But and they push to try and help themselves. And they say, well, I will work my way to get myself out of this trouble. We find they do that. And they try that in the verses 12, 11, 13 and 14. And they try to do those things. And they try to bring it land. Look at verse 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land. But they could not. There was the trying of their own ways. Do you know that as they looked at Jonah, the only man that could help them, he had been sleeping. He had been sleeping. But what did God have to do in their lives to bring them to a point where they would realize that in their midst of fear that God was able to calm the storm? They had to bring him to the man of God. They had to bring him to speak to Jonah. They had to bring Jonah out of his sleep. See, these men were without hope. Maybe there's someone listening this evening. And you say, well, preacher, I'm without hope as well. But I'm in fear of going into a lost eternity without Christ. You know what I hope you do? Speak to someone that can tell you about the things of God. Because that's what Jonah does. He tells them not of a God, but he tells them that he serves the Most High God of heaven. He tells them that he serves the God who made the heavens, who made the earth, who made the water. He told them about God who controls all things. And the Bible says that they asked him, they were exceedingly afraid. Why? Because he told them about God. And they began to talk to them about the things of God. Let me just say something in passing. I know that Jonah should never have run away. I know that Jonah should never have carried along this travel away from Nineveh rather than going straight there. But when Jonah went to that boat, even though he tried to run another way, it was through Jonah being there that God reached the people on that ship. Because you look over at verse number 16, the change of the fear. And we'll come back to that in a few moments' time, but just look for a moment in verse 16. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. See, Jonah comes to this boat. Yes, he was a sleeper. What will I do when they're afraid? They come to the man of God. They come to the man of God and they're in despair. And they seek advice from God's servant. And they want to go forward. They want to see God, they want to see them getting to dry land. And it comes to God's servant. And Jonah says, I know why. Because verse 4 says, the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And there we find that Jonah knew exactly what was going on. Jonah knew exactly why they're in the situation. But you know something I notice? Before the storm, there's the calmness. And God had to bring a Jonah to a place right through the calmness of time to the storm and then back to the calm again. To show these men what God could do. And to show us too that when we're afraid, when we're going through situations, that God is able to deliver us. And we find that Jonah was telling there is a way to overcome. Seek God. And the lives of their storms, the life storms have overtaken them. And there's fear, there's confusion, and there's trouble within their hearts. And they try everything. The Bible tells us that they begin to throw things out of the ship. They try to loosen the weights, hoping that this will help them. But there's none that can help them except God. Jonah, he doesn't say, well, I can save you, but I trust in God. See, if they had been the thought where they believed that man could save, they would have just spoke to each other. But do you remember what the chief or the mariner said, shipmaster? He says in verse 6, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. And these words are key. If so be that God will think on us, we will not perish. You see, there is that fear upon his life. And he said, if God thinks on us, we will not perish. And the shipmaster, he says, call on God. But what shall we do when we're afraid? Seek God. When we're in the darkest moment, we call on God. Because if these men are anything to show us, they say, whenever they were in the midst of their darkest moment, they said, why hast thou done this? What can we do? It reminds me of a man called John Newton. John Newton in 1748, on the 10th of March, was struck upon that rock sinking. He was a sinking sinner. He was a man who once renounced his faith. He was a man who finds himself now in the depths of despair where he's fearing for his own life, and not only his own life, but the life of all those that are round about him. John Newton says these words. On that 10th of March, 1748, is a day much to be remembered for me. I've never allowed it to pass unnoticed since that year of 1748. For that day, the Lord came from high and delivered me from deep waters. The storm was terrific. When the ship went plunging down and through the sea, few on board expected her to come up again. The hold was rapidly filling with water. And as Newton at that time, as he worried for his life, he said to his captain, if this will not do, the Lord have mercy upon us. In his own words, they startled him himself, and he said, mercy. Mercy, what mercy can there be for me? He said that was the first desire he had for mercy in many years. That evening, about 6 o'clock, the hold went free from water. And he says, I thought I saw how God had displayed his favor. And I began to pray, and I could not utterly pray anything of myself. But I could not draw near to a reconciled God and call him Father. He says, my prayer was for mercy. And my cry was like the ravens. But yet the Lord does not disdain to hear. see a cry for mercy. He was fearful, but God heard his cry. Maybe you're listening this evening, and I urge you not to go home without getting right before God, because if you go out of this meeting and you go into a lost eternity, you're lost in eternity in hell. There's not one that believe in Christ Jesus that are sitting in this meeting or listening in that desire you to go along that path. See, if you're unsaved, are you not afraid? Are you not afraid for what your life holds? Are you not afraid that you'll not be here tomorrow? Are you not afraid that you're going into a lost eternity without Christ? For when the storm of life comes, and it will come, I urge you to turn to Christ, because Christ alone can calm that storm. You see, these men needed to turn to God, but they had to be shown by Jonah here that he was willingly to go through with God. I look at Jonah here, and yes, Jonah could be looked at as a missionary who ran away. But he was willing to go through with God. He was willing to show by an act of faith to let God deal with the matter. And the Bible tells us that when Jonah went into that sea, there was that calmness. The Bible says in verse 15, the end of it, ceased from raging. And then we see that difference. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered vows and sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. But we started this evening and asked that question, what would you do? But then we say, ask that again, what will you do if you heard the news you did not want to hear? Hearing the news we do not want to hear, and sadness and sad news comes very quickly. It's like a blink of an eye. In a moment we could be in this old world, and in a moment's time we could be into God's eternity. Yet, where art thou? What would you do if you heard the news you didn't want to hear? It says in verse number 10, after they've heard what Jonah said, it says, then were the men exceedingly afraid, for they said, what hast thou done? Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because they told them. They heard the news. Now, in reality, it wasn't the news they desired. It wasn't the news that they had thought that was going to come. They just wanted everything to be calm. They just wanted everything to be fixed. But Jonah brings them back to God. Jonah says, I serve God. I fear God. There's only one hope. And I know there's not one person here ever wants to receive bad news. Because bad news travels fast. I want you to think of this evening, as they're on that ship, the very first person spies the storm come. And fear begins to grip his heart. And as the news travels around that ship, there's a storm coming. They begin to make preparations that they would be held fast for the storm, but they cannot cope. And as that news rings ahead, everyone on that ship is concerned. And they hear the news, which is unnatural. And they started to talk to our God. You know, each man had some kind of God, or each man has some thing they wanted to look to, but they didn't know the one true God. But something happens here when the people do cry. Jonah's woken up. We find that when Jonah was woken up, as the message goes round, the shipmaster, he comes in and he says, Jonah, pray. Jonah, we're afraid. And each man has their God. And when something happens, they do cry. They do cry. But they're unsaved. and they still don't know God. But why would God answer them? Would answer someone who is not, who does not believe in Him? And they're alarmed and they're weary and the tempest is coming up. But the only person that should have been concerned, the only person that should have been concerned was unconcerned with what was going on. And you can read that in verse number 5. But these men, they're affected by all that's happened. They're affected by the danger they're going to face. They're affected by this, and they begin to tremble. They begin to pray. And they begin to cry unto their God, the God of their city, the God of their country, and their God of whatever they thought that they would have. But every one of them prayed, and they cried every man to his God. You know, there I could stop and say there's a testimony against atheism. Because these men in their darkest situation in life, they sought to pray. They sought to seek after a God, and they had a belief. But their prayers for deliverance, although they were secondary in their own lives, they prayed and cast the goods of the ship into the water to save their lives. And I mentioned this morning, remember Jabez didn't look for finances in life. He looked to the Lord. And the love of money begins to leave these men in this ship. And as they begin to throw out those things, they realize that life is important. But they realize, as I said already, life at best is very brief. It's like a falling off the leaf. And these men knew that they were not right before God. So why would God listen to them? But they begin to seek God, seek guidance. Because when they hear about Jonah, when they hear what Jonah has news, he tells them, they ask the question, verse 11, then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And we find that they knew something had to happen. They knew that a change had to occur. Just as when someone's unsaved, there needs to be a change in their lives. When Christ comes into their lives and Christ changes their lives, there has to be that turning away from sin. The repenting of their own ways. And they say, Jonah, we're fearful. What shall we do? They didn't want to hear all these other things, and they begin then to do their own way. We're going to row. We're going to get ourselves over to the other side. And I'm sure that Jonah didn't know it all. But Jonah knew they needed to know about God. You see, when we're told bad news, for instance, the truth that you're a sinner, you're not to just say, well, I'll sit in my hands and I'll not do anything about it. But you must take action. You must take action. But let me tell you something this evening. It's not a preacher who makes up these things. It's not a preacher that brings up and says, this is the rules. But a preacher preaches these words. And a preacher preaches the message of God's saving grace, because that's what God says. And because what God says is true, that's what people need. That's what we need. And unless someone turns from their sin, they're never going to be in heaven. And the people hold on to their sin, they love their sin. And instead of leaving their sin and casting it upon the Lord, they keep on sinning. And they keep on sinning. And their sin is so close to them, they cannot let it go. Remember reading a story of an old actor, W.C. Fields, and he was in hospital. And a friend came into him. He surprised him, and he was reading the Bible. As he began reading the Bible, his friend began to scoff and laugh. And he says, why are you reading the Bible? His answer, I'm looking for loopholes. The answer came back, as he found any. He says, no. But I live in hope. And you know that man, if he went outside, he died in his sin, he went into a God's eternity without hope. You see, there's no other way except the way that God sets for us in the Word of God. You see, God makes the difference, and Jonah begins to tell them about the things of God. Jonah says, verse 12, "Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." Jonah says, this is the news. This is what you need to do. And maybe the men say, "But Jonah, I can't do it this way. Jonah, it doesn't make sense." And they begin to sin. They begin to respond. And they say, verse 13, "Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not." They said, "I'll go my way." And they tried. But that didn't help them. Why? Because it wasn't God's way. They feared the news. Surely it is enough to do it our way. They say, surely it's enough to fear the news. No, there must be repentance. Is good enough to get to heaven? No, good enough is not good enough to get to heaven. Being good enough is not good enough for life. And when the world looks upon us, in society that we live in. So why do we think that good enough is good enough to get us into heaven? People, and maybe you said, "Well, I'll try my best. And God won't stop me from getting into heaven. Or God doesn't require me to get saved. He just requires me to be a better person. Or if I live a Christian life, surely, how could God send me to hell?" Martin Luther wrote these words, "The most damnable and pernicious heresy that has ever plagued the mind of man is the idea that somehow he could make himself good enough to deserve a life to live with a holy God." And mankind is addicted to doing their own way for salvation. But what the Bible says, it's not good enough. But fortunately for these men, there was a good news. There was a good news that came upon them. Unfortunately for us, there's the good news. There is redemption through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And Christ makes the sacrifice for our sins. And we find that our sins are taken care of by God. That our sins are taken care of for good. Apostle Paul described it this way: God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. So that is what we need to do. When Jesus Christ, God's Son, went to the cross, He died for our sins. Our mistakes, our wretchedness, our unrighteousness. And He was the only sacrifice. But what would you do? And what will you do this evening? What will you do with Christ if you're fearing, and you're fearing for what your tomorrow will be? Will you not seek God this evening? What would you do if there was no hope? Says in verse 12, "And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." But what if there was no hope? What if Jonah had not said, "This is what is desired"? If he had said, "Well, I don't know what to do, surely we'll try something else," and there's no hope. There's no hope, there's no rescue. If there's no hope, there's despair. And if there's no hope, there's no way for help with these men on the ship. But praise God, there is a hope and confidence in the abilities which God has. There is a hope, there is a rescue. If there is no hope, there is nothing for you. But when you come to the end of your rebellion and die in your sin, then you'll find your situation is you can never find your way out of hell. But the men had to take action. And the Bible says in verse 15, so they took up Jonah and they cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased or stopped her raging. There had to be an action. And today you're living a life, and you're living a life, and that, and I pray and I hope that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. But you need to come to Him. You need to come God's way. You have to recognize that God paid the price, that Jesus paid it all. Maybe thank the Lord that Jonah was able to present to them and being very clear. Maybe at the beginning, Jonah thought, what could I say? What could I say to turn the hearts of these men around? As a preacher, maybe we say, what can I say? There was an old preacher, D.L. Moody, who fell into the same situation in his own life. A man he knew and loved very, very well was unsaved and living a life of sin. He was going out soon to God's eternity. Sadly, Moody says this man had no fear. He came to visit him. He spoke to him on many occasions and he tried to tell him, but this day he arrived, he didn't know how to reach him. What shall I do? He sat around the fire and soon he looked in the fire. It was burning full of coals. He looked at it and he stepped ahead and walked to the fireplace. He took the tongs and picked out a blazing coal and set it down outside the fire. And soon that fire began the coal began to smolder. But he just said, see. See. You're going out to God's eternity without God and you're smoldering away. You need to get saved. Moody reports on that day and that occasion when he presented that to that man. He put that coal back into the fire with the tongs once again and it began to glow. That day that man, realizing he was a sinner, cried unto God for salvation, fearing that he was going out into God's eternity without God, without hope, without a rescue. That day, Moody says, that man got saved. Today you too could have this same confidence in Jesus Christ. The knowledge that your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You see, unsaved person, you're living your life and you're going into God's eternity. I pray that you'll get saved. Your life is important. Your life is brief and maybe you don't realize the brevity of your own life. What is your life? The Bible says it's a vapor appears for a time and vanishes away. But God made you. And God made all things. And God is a righteous judge. For all your sins against God, if you do not receive Christ, you'll go into God's eternity. Being judged for your sins. But Jonah was cast into the sea. And there's a rejoicing on that ship. Why is there a rejoicing? Because the change within their lives. They fear God. They offered sacrifices unto the Lord. They made vows unto the Lord. And the Lord did a work. And I pray that God will do that work in your heart, in your life this day. Will you come to God? You've been living your life of rebellion for too long. The Bible says, come now. Let us reason together. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. I pray this evening that God would speak to your heart and has been speaking to your heart. And you say that as you go home, what will I do? Will I continue the way I am? Well, I realize that Christ paid the penalty price for my sin. Will you be like these mariners on this ship, calling upon God? I pray not only this evening that you'll realize that you're a sinner, but you realize you need a Savior. And come to Christ, who's ready and who's willing to save you from your sins. Let's close our meeting with a word of prayer this evening. Let's just seek the Lord both humbly and reverently. Father in heaven, as we come to the close of another gospel evening service, Lord, I pray that if there is one outside of Christ that's gathered here, there will be that calling of them unto salvation. They will not live their life another moment of time the way they have been living it, but they will turn to Jesus. They will look and live. Lord, I pray that they will remember, oh Lord, how these men on this ship, they tried everything else, and surely as they tried it, they thought it would work, but it didn't. But only by trusting in God was where they found the answer. And I pray that there will be, if there is one person or two or three gathered here, there will be that trusting in Thee this night. Close them in with Thee. May they go out saved by God's grace and by God's mercy. And we cry of old, like of old, in wrath, O God, remember mercy, I pray to Thee this night, Lord. Answer prayer. Dwell with us, Lord. Save precious, never dying souls. Lord, take us to our homes in safety. Dwell with us until we meet again, we pray. In the Savior's worthy and precious name's sake. Amen.